Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free.
Welcome to the Curious Matter After Show. I am Allison Haslip, and my co-pilot here is Alyssa DeVries, and we are going to be your hosts as we take a deeper dive into this season's episodes. We are going to go behind the scenes to learn a little bit more about these stories and their authors, and of course, geek out on our collective love of all things sci-fi and horror. Tonight's show is live on Twitch every other week. So all of you out there in the podcast land, you know, come join us over at twitch.tv/effinfunny. You can ask questions, interact with the team, and who knows, you know, maybe win a prize or two. Like, that's gonna happen tonight. So tonight on the show, we have the unbelievably talented star of The Uncanny Eddie Cobalt, Kelly Dawn Hancock. We also have the always hilarious Jeff Lewis, who voiced the character of Simon Hadrill. But
yes, but before we bring them on, let's do some trivia. Mm-hmm. Okay, chat, get ready to send in your answers. The first one who responds correctly gets a Curious Matter t-shirt, which I want one. I want everybody involved to know that I want one too. Our first question is, what is the name of the new character that was introduced in tonight's episode? I'm going to give you some multiple choice options, okay? First, we have A, Professor X, B, Control X, C, Control C, or D, Copy and Paste, whoever gets it in first. A, Professor X, B, Control X, C, Control C, or D, Copy and Paste. I'm looking at the chat. I'm ready for your answers. Let me know if you need me to repeat it again. I will keep repeating it as long as it takes.
I feel like if I was the person in chat, I'd be like, wait, am I writing the name and the letter, or am I writing the letter of the name?
Listen, I know the answer. So whatever they choose to do, that's true. We all know we should all know the answer, right?
Yeah. As I say that, I'm like, I think I know the answer.
Oh, Critter Nation 3000 has answered B, and you win a shirt.
Yes.
Correct answer, Control X.
I was pretty sure it was Control X, but then I was like, oh, wait, was it Control C? I don't remember. No, Control X. Okay, great. All right. So we have question number two. I hope y'all are paying attention. This one's a teensy bit harder. What is one of the names of Simon's cats? just one of the names of Simon's cats. My cat literally just leaped up here like it was his cue. Here, come here. Just make an appearance so I can show everyone that I'm not talking to a fictional cat. There's my cat. This is Gandalf the White. But the question for trivia is, as he rips my headphones off. What is one of the names of Simon's cats? He had some very clever names in there.
That's hilarious name.
They were very funny. Catrin Zeta Jones.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
Was one. Yay. Who got it?
D-Man 1198.
There we go. Perfect.
Yes.
They also won a shirt.
Yes. Congratulations to our winners. Check your DMs for a message from us about your prize, which is a shirt. And I'm sad to see the shirts go.
Yes. All right. And for those of you who are listening to this, not live, you're listening to it on the podcast, you can join us live on Twitch. Again, every other Tuesday at 6:30 PM and Pacific time. And you too can participate in the trivia to win awesome prizes like the shirts that Alyssa loves. But now we are going to bring on our awesome guests, Kelly Dawn Hancock and Jeff Lewis. Welcome. Y'all, my cat really just wants to be involved in the episode. The cat understood that there were cats in this episode. He's like, Mom, why haven't you put me in Hollywood yet? And now he's all right. He's away now. Hi. Kelly, Jeff.
Hello.
How are you?
The first cat first name one? I threw? Oh, Pawbry Plaza.
Pawbry.
Are you like, damn, I should have thought of that one.
I know. Shoot. What was my cat names?
Yeah, Jeff, let's throw this first question to you. Did you make up those cat names or were they scripted?
They were all scripted. I may have made up one, but it was not as good as any of those he said that he had written. I wish I had, looking back. I don't know. You're on the spot sometimes, even though I do.
I know.
I've done improv. I just...
True.
It's very specific. Like I something with cat or meow or, you know, now I can make it plenty after, you know, after the fact.
And of course, it's like every time you walk away from an argument, you're like, I know this was the last thing I should have said.
The drive home, like, oh, yes. I should have said that.
Exactly.
Mouth say tongue or whatever. Yeah, something.
Kelly, welcome back. It is great to have you after last week.
Yes.
This was a conclusion. I was not expecting.
It ended. I mean,
this was ended, and I was like, "Oh, I guess that is the solution." But I didn't really see. I truly did not see it ending with Eddie editing herself out.
Yeah. Self-sacrificed.
What was that like for you when you read it? When you recorded it?
I was surprised by her self-sacrifice as well, because, you know, she was very cynical and didn't believe in anything. And so for her to make that giant, you know, I'm not good with math. So I'm not sure if it's a 180 or a 360. It's one of those. She turned to a certain point and just completely. Yeah, it was surprising. I read it.
Also, I love that it happens after she loses her best friend, Simon, you know?
Yeah, I think there's something about the relationship with Simon was that it was the one person who just gave her everything, like regardless at any point, he never wanted anything. He just had her back. And even though she completely, you know, fucked his entire life, he still was like, no, I got you. And she couldn't get past that. And so I think because of that, you know, Susan had done her wrong and she felt like the psychologist had done her wrong. And like the waitress was hitting on her girl, like all these other people had it coming in some manner, except for Simon.
Yeah. Simon was just the dude who liked his corporate life.
Yeah.
And looked out for her. Yeah. Jeff, what did you think of this script when you first read it and your thoughts on Simon?
I thought it was great. I mean, it made me think about how I would lose my mind if I remembered something and no one else did. I mean, I was thinking about it for a long time. Like, I would think, well, maybe if nobody else remembers something and I'm the only one that did, maybe I'm insane. Because that's how you base things on, is like other people's memories too. Like, it kind of was tripping me out. It was really interesting to think about, but I thought it was great. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And it's funny that it, last week when we talked, I brought up, we were kind of got into talking about some Marvel movies, but I actually just binged all of Moon Knight this week. And so the conversation with the psychiatrist was reminding me a lot of what goes on in that show as well. And I was like, yeah, what is your reality if someone is telling you that it isn't that, you know?
And I'm getting to the age where it's, you know, it's happening.
No.
Where I swear I did this thing and nobody else remembers it, or I didn't do this thing. So that's kind of trippy.
I remember as a kid asking my mother if she remembered something, and she would go vaguely. And I'd be like, that makes no sense. You either remember something or you don't. And as I get older, I'm like, oh no, now I understand the concept of vaguely, like something that's just tickling something in your brain that it happened, but you're not quite sure if it actually
you can't
did.
Access it. Yeah.
So, Kelly, so in this episode, we get a much different Eddie than we had in part one. Clearly she's on a bit of a downward spiral. Did you find a lot of differences in playing her in part two than part one?
Part two was more fun. Part one was full of exposition and, you know, part two, I actually think she showed more personality and more, I mean, obviously she shows more range, but, you know, strangely, I feel like part one was harder. Part two was a lot more fun. I got to cut loose on her a lot more. So,
I mean, we, you know, we get, it almost immediately starts off with her drinking and she doesn't let up from there. So what was it like? You know, they always say that acting drunk is one of the hardest things to do, because when you're drunk, you try so hard to show you are not drunk. So what was it like?
That's the secret. That,
but also in a voiceover.
That's the secret. Like the acting 101 secret is, you know, if you have to cry, don't cry. Like if you really have to cry for the camera, the secret is to not try to cry for the camera.
Right.
And so the same mentality I hit when I was drunk, because it's really funny, actually. I don't, you know, I went back to my life in the 20s when I was around 25 and I, you know, was trying, like you would drink all night. And then I just remember very much being out with my best friend and we would hit these moments and we're like, all right, I got to maintain. No one can know, maintain. And so the whole time I was in the booth, I was like, maintain, and just kind of went through it from that point. So I guess I trained for this when I was 25.
Act
drunk. You built up to it.
I built up to that exact acting drunk moment. And yeah, so you can't push it. There's an honesty about you when you're drunk that I think you just talk and you just slur a little bit and maintain.
I do remember one of my first acting classes, I had to be drunk in a scene and I actually was in my car and I took like three shots of gin.
Because
I just was, I was sure I couldn't do it. And it was so dumb. An acting
class. He's like,
well, I walked in, obviously I was intoxicated.
Also, Jeff, gin? You chose gin?
I can't remember what it was.
Oh, okay. You seemed very convinced it that it was gin.
That's just, I remember gin and tonic for some reason. I took something and it was so dumb. Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Well, the other interesting thing, and we talked about this a bit last week, is you two did not record together at all. Mm-mm. So all these like great conversations you had in this episode were very one-sided when you were recording them. But in regards, I mean, the great thing about this podcast as a whole is the all the audio around the dialogue as well that gives you such a sense of space and where you are. I mean, the whole scene that took place in Central Park, I was just listening to, like, you could just hear the faintest other people in the background. Yeah. Like, so did you get any of that while you two were recording as well? Did you have any sense of the other ambient noises that were going to be around you?
No.
Wow.
No. It does fill in the blanks so well.
Yeah.
For some reason, absolutely. Your brain, you hear those. It's like you're there. But I didn't have any of that. No.
No. Just even the scene when, I know, let's talk to him about that. Like the scene where Control X approaches and you hear his point, his dialogue get louder and his footsteps hitting, like that blew my mind, because that's not obviously when we recorded it. You know, Jonathan just read the line to me, and then that moment, and to me, like that reveal of Control X just really hit me. And I was like, oh, shoot, you know. Yeah.
I mean, Kelly, that's a great segue too, because I wanted to talk about Control X. This is it.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I'll give you $5 afterwards. So this is a character who wasn't in the original story. And here it's now created the explanation for the uncanny part of this and why Eddie actually has her abilities. So what do you feel like this character added to the story?
For me, it adds a villain for her, right? Because she's had villains all throughout everything else, and she's gotten rid of them at that point. And now she doesn't have anything. And so she's looking for this explanation, and he doesn't have an explanation for her. He's just like, I picked you because you seemed awesome when you were having a psychotic break. And, you know, and so I think not having any answers is what really starts her downfall. And if there was no Control X, if it was still just this ethereal thing that one day she just appeared and she had this, you know, she could maybe think, well, is this the solution? Is that the solution? But she was basically told, your solution is to find another person who doesn't believe anything. And she can't find another person. And that starts her decline, like, more rapidly.
I also love the decision to go to a speed dating place to find a person who doesn't believe in anything.
Nope.
That was one of my favorite lines, that nope.
Nope.
Speaking of favorite lines, actually, I think my favorite part of the episode was revealing that the alien showed up after the Cold War was erased. And I was like, that weirdly makes a lot of sense somehow. But did you all have a favorite moment or line from the episode?
My favorite line, strangely, was "Poof, baby, I'm on fire." Like, that cracked me up every time, and it sounds so self-serving because I said it, but I just laugh because she's just so completely out of control. And it's like she has this whim where someone's like, oh, I did Instagram. Well, I'm mad at Instagram. So bye-bye, Instagram. And so it just...
I mean, y'all got rid of Twitter too. So why not?
Yeah. You know. What's true? So I just, I don't know. That line tickles me every time.
Yeah. Jeff, how about you?
I love doing the douchey, like, restaurant, like, have you ever had red wine? I can't remember the lines, but that was kind of fun to play that, like, just being that corporate guy who's like getting all these perks and is just being as jerky about it as possible. It was fun.
Yeah.
Alyssa, how about you? Did you have a favorite line, or do you have any favorite lines coming in from chat?
I do have a favorite line. Mine was, please feed my cats.
Yeah, I mean, that was great.
Truly hilarious. I'm a sucker for comedy. Sir Winx 13 says his favorite line is, you have a manifesto. That was a hilarious one.
Oh yeah, that was a good one too.
I just jumped in
the chat. Everybody's just talking about how amazing the soundscape was. Just echoing what you guys were saying, that it was chaotic and they felt like they were in the space physically, and that really is a testament to Jonathan and his amazing work.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Actually, I want to tell Alyssa, you mentioned the comedy of it. I want to touch on that because Jeff, Simon is the comic relief.
So close to the character.
I know.
Simon, I am Simon.
You are seven.
Yeah, I got called by either name.
Good. True actor. Respond to it.
Yes.
But Simon is the comic relief in an otherwise very heavy drama for the most part. How did you approach that? Is there a method that you have to doing comedy in a drama as opposed to comedy in a comedy?
No, I think I treat them both as drama. I mean, I don't think one thing that was hammered into me is like not trying to be funny, trying to be in the moment and playing the drama of it. I think there's a very small sliver of difference between the two. It's all drama, but there's sometimes maybe a little bit bigger, but I think it's always finding that drama. I mean, it's trusting it too. It's like for years I thought I needed to be funny, and I just needed to trust that it was, the material was funny if I played it real and seriously.
Right. I feel like the theme of what we're talking about is if you want to do something in acting, don't do it.
Yes. Don't act. Just do. Just
don't act.
I
just want to share that Critter Nation 3000 said so unusual for Jeff to be the comic relief. I thought was pretty goofy.
Was that sarcasm?
I think it was probably sarcasm.
I don't know how to take that. Whatever works.
Okay. So let's talk about this part is where we actually get the term an editor or editors as to what Eddie is doing with this this uncanny power of hers. So if I'm just going to say this to the Zoom room I'm seeing, but if we could edit out anything in our lives, what would we edit? I got to think about that myself too.
Oh my God.
I know.
God. The people that bullied me. I guess they're not bullies anymore. I don't know. That's not.
You don't know.
That's a good question.
I'm trying to think. I would get rid of money and I would take us back to the barter system.
Ooh.
I feel like
you guys are thinking big. I was thinking little, like, what if we just got rid of body hair so we never have to worry about it? I'm like, what's something significant but not so significant it actually like changes the course of human history?
We would be so aerodynamic.
Stop that. Yeah.
Yeah. Kelly, you guys.
But would we be bald? Like body hair?
I was thinking from neck down.
You gotta be specific. It's like
you gotta be real specific with this stuff.
It's like, you know, you're doing your two wishes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like peanut butter.
Oh, what?
I know, it's a judgment thing.
Did you just erase Reese's Pieces peanut butter cups?
Oh my God, I would erase Reese's like so fast.
Wow.
That's so funny. Did you just try it once and never liked it?
I don't like it. Mm-mm. Yeah. I don't know. My sister
feels
like
a real controversial take right now.
My sister doesn't like tuna fish and I don't like peanut butter. I don't like the smell
That's
of it.
Really funny.
Like if I'm with a guy and he ate a peanut butter sandwich and I go in to kiss him, I'm like, go brush your teeth.
Nope.
I don't like peanuts. I don't like peanut butter.
My brother tells everyone he's allergic to mustard. He is not. He just hates it so much that he never wants to be near it. So he says he's allergic to it. I'm like,
well, there's a judgment if you tell someone that a beloved thing you don't like, but if you tell them it could kill you, there's sympathy.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
That's funny.
All right. Let's talk about the ending of this episode. When Eddie edited herself out, I was like, whoa. And then we still get this epilogue moment of Control X. I almost called it Professor X because of the trivia game.
Copy and paste.
copy and paste. Presumably buying Eddie's old apartment. What do we think about that ending? Why do we think Control X wanted to be there?
I thought it was because Eddie released him. Like he was no longer an editor because he passed that power to her and she destroyed herself. So in me paying it forward, the power doesn't exist anymore. And so now he's released from his life. It's like the genie, you know, from Aladdin. He's free. And so he likes to pay homage to the person who freed him.
Yeah. Wonderful. I'll say what Kelly said.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it. I mean, God, it's a good question. Sometimes things just pass me. I didn't really think about that. Give me some time. How much we have some time to be thinking about.
Kelly, I know you did some episodes on season one mm-hmm. of Curious Matter, but Jeff, is this your first sort of step into scripted podcasting, or had you done scripted podcasting before?
This is, you know, it's so funny. Like this thing with John, when I did the reading with Jonathan, I ended up like two other people at the same time. It's like in the air right now. Doing scripted podcast. It's great. I mean, it's a way to get an idea across if you mm-hmm. can't afford to have a big production, but you still have the script that you think is good. And I am doing a few others, but it's just so funny. It all happened around this time, about in the last month. Mm-hmm. I have never really done anything like this.
How do you both feel about this kind of new medium that is approaching and definitely much more prevalent than it had been even just a few years ago?
I mean, the business is always changing and you got to evolve with it. And, you know, an actor wants to act. And so it's a new medium and you have to, like, we talked about this last time, Allison, like, what's the difference between on camera and voiceover or even the podcast, right? And so I think as an actor, it's a new opportunity. Also as an actor, I've listened to myself and I'm super annoyed with this, or I don't like how my voice sounds. I mean, we're never ever happy. So right. It's just another medium for me to like critique myself to the nth degree.
We are our own harshest critics.
Yeah.
And we've seen also a couple of podcasts turn into bigger things, so you know it's a possibility, which is great. It's very inspiring, so it's good to know mm-hmm. that things can happen from a podcast. Not that a podcast mm-hmm. is in and of itself isn't enough. I'm just saying other things can come out of it.
Well, it seems like such a wonderful way to consume media. You know, I think podcasts became a bigger thing when people were like, "Oh, I can listen to something while I'm doing my chores or mm-hmm. working out or driving a car." You know, and now it's a way of getting. Not just potentially like hearing a talking head talk about, you know,
murder.
I was going to say true crime thing.
Right.
We can actually get a cinematic experience mm-hmm. in our ear holes while we drive to work, which is pretty amazing.
Right.
Alyssa, what's going on in the chat? Anything new?
Well, I just want to share a couple of hilarious ideas that the chat has had to edit out of our lives.
Oh, yes, please.
We want to edit out high cholesterol, chronic illness, pet allergies, ASMR eating videos. You're right. Rent control. And then somebody said kidding. Generational wealth. So everybody's having hilarious ideas.
So I love that some people are taking this very seriously and thinking of really good things. And right. I was like, I just don't want to shave anymore.
Right.
It is interesting having gone from the cold war. We talked about going from the Cold War to the alien. It's like there's things we want to get rid of, but we don't know right now
what the effects would be.
Yeah.
Something you may hate, like hair. Who knows what the repercussions of that are after it's born.
It makes me think of Everything Everywhere All at Once. If you haven't gone to see that movie, absolutely go see that movie. It is fantastic. You have to.
I want to.
This is mm-hmm. not really a spoiler alert at all, but like it's kind of a multiverse type movie and they find a version of humanity that has like hot dog fingers because of something that happened a zillion years ago when we were evolving and now we all have hot dog fingers. And it's just that thought of like, I guess that could have been a possibility at some point.
Yeah. Like when you want a time machine and you change something. Yeah.
Yeah. Like every episode of Doctor Who.
Right.
It just makes you think. Awesome. Well, thank you both for joining us. I highly enjoyed this. Like, truly.
So good.
Yeah.
Man, thank you.
Thank you, Alyssa, do we have anything else we need to check in with chat or?
No, chat is looking good.
Great. Okay. Then I think it is time to wrap things up. If you're listening, please make sure to like and subscribe wherever you are listening. Please follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook under the handle at CM Anthology, or check us out online at www.curiousmatterpodcast.com. Curious Matter Anthology will be back on June 14th. We have about a month before we are back, and that will be with our next episode, Star Hunter Part 1. And of course, we'll be back that night at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time, live on twitch.tv/EvanFunny for our next after show right here. Our technical director tonight is Death Queen Vex. The Curious Matter after show is presented by Evan Funny and the Knightsville Workshop and distributed by Realm Media. So until next time, I am Allison Hayslip.
This is Alyssa DeVries, and we've been your hosts. I've just had the best time tonight. Everybody have a wonderful evening. And of course, thank you for listening.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Dum Dums and Dice would like to welcome you into the Mythos Mysteries, a live play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imagining. Our story begins with two erstwhile companions on a long and winding road. They think they are fleeing danger, but greater horror awaits them when they arrive. For they are not just running away from mortal danger, but towards the Mythos Mysteries.
Whoever you are, we're not scared of you.
You hear a voice from inside that says, "Please, help. I'm inside the dresser, help."
Now I need you to listen to my very explicit instructions here, Adrian.
Okay.
Please ready your punch and fists.
Yeah, they're always ready.
Now I'm gonna open the door.
Okay.
And we're gonna look inside the dresser.
What if we don't? Could we not?
I need you to be brave for me.
Okay.
You were always very brave.
Okay. So we're going to open the door and you're going to look in the dresser. And yes. Then what?
And then if I tell you to.
Yep.
We're going to punch it.
The dresser? You said I had to be very. You said explicit.
If there is someone in the dresser.
I'm punching.
We're going to punch him.
What if it's a ghost?
Well, then we're going to have ourselves a fun time. So,
like a party?
Like a birthday party.
Okay, so we'll do some dancing and there will be a cake. Hopefully the ghost brought it.
Yes.
Okay, I can do this.
Okay. I'm going to open the door now.
Okay.
I'm going to open the door.
You open the door and the dresser is back upright. All the drawers are back inside. But now it is next to the window and the bed is in a different corner.
Of course it is.
And the blood is pooling on the floor instead of the ceiling. It's dripping up.
The Mythos Mysteries. Episodes are available now.